In this month's episode of the History Explorer podcast, we'll be talking with several museum staff members about an exciting opportunity held each spring for junior high and high school students. Every year, the Kenneth E. Baring National History Day contest allows these students to research, develop, and present a project on an aspect of local, regional, national, or even world history of their choosing and related to the current year's theme. Entries not only describe an event or a development, but they also analyze and place within historical context. Competitions are held locally, with national finalists being invited to display, perform, or present their projects here at the National Museum of American History. So you might be asking yourself, great, this sounds like fun, but what is an entry? What types of projects can be entered? National History Day is broken into 9 categories, allowing students to create and present their project in a way that fits their best abilities. For more information on the types of categories and official rules, check out nhd.org. Now, let's listen to education specialist and former judge Heather Paisley Jones talk about what makes a good exhibit, documentary, and theater project.
Hi, my name is Heather Paisley Jones, and I am an education specialist here at the Museum of American History. And I've been working with National History Day for about 15 years.
And I understand that you specifically have judged video and theater projects in the past?
I have, and I've also had some association with the exhibits.
So what do you look for in a good project?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the kids' presentation. Let's talk first about theater because okay. And the exhibits, because you have a sort of a different presentation than you do with the video. The students clearly, by the time we see them up at Nationals, they are already prepared, but they need to seem and be as confident as possible. So they need to practice presenting their paper or their exhibit or their play and answering questions about it and be able to speak in a way that seems like they've thought their questions through ahead of time, give well-reasoned answers, things like that.
And then with the video projects, how are those presented, and then how do you judge those?
Generally, what happens with the video projects is that we screen them, and then you have a couple minutes with the students to ask them questions. So what I said earlier would hold true as well. There's obviously a whole different level of presentation preparation for the video stuff. Some of the videos I've seen have been amazingly professional and very, very compelling. I don't think they necessarily have to be slick, but they have to be, again, well-researched, and there has to be a point to them. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's, you know, like you write a term paper or you write a composition, it has to be a script. It has to build up to a point and tell you what needs to be said, and then come back to a place. It has to come to a conclusion. So really having an introduction, it's like writing a paper, you need an introduction. I think one of the other things that makes the plays or the videos really stand out is when the students choose to do it on someone or on a topic that isn't the same thing that everybody else is going to pick. So if it's national diplomacy, you don't want 32 Ben Franklins or 32 sure. Thomas Jeffersons. You really want to talk or hear about somebody that's going to show that they had to do a little digging for their work. Some of the best theater things that I've seen have been based on people doing oral histories. One in particular that I remember, and I think the young man ended up winning one of the national prizes. He had interviewed living World War II veterans, and so he was telling very personal stories about people. So it was compelling because it wasn't something that anybody had ever heard before. Pretty well done and also very well sourced so that you could then look at his sources and see.
Now, any great examples of videos you've seen in the past or judged in the past?
Oh, my. I think that there was one on desegregation that was really good that, was based on oral histories as well as on other primary source research, but they were actually talking to people that had experienced that time in history.
Now, in the past, I've seen that a lot of students have projects that I've seen mm-hmm. are focused on some aspects of local history. Or do you think that's a great idea to try and find a piece of local history to develop a project around? Maybe
I think it can be if it fits the topic. Mm-hmm. Not only are the sources easier to find, I think they're often richer and more personal. And again, then you end up telling a story that's not the same story that everyone else is telling. Still meets the guidelines, but it can feel more real and more informative, more personal.
Why do you think it's important for students to participate in National History Day?
I can't overemphasize how important I think things like National History Day are. And, you know, they just did a big research project that shows that students who participate in National History Day do better on standardized tests, do better in college. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they really know how to do real historical research, which carries over to any kind of research paper that you need to do.
So do you have any tips or advice for students who are creating exhibit projects this year?
Well, as with anything else, I think it's important to pick a topic that's not going to be overdone, that lots of other kids are not going to automatically pick because it's, you know, it seems like something that there's not going to be hard to research. You know, try to be unique. And in designing your exhibit, it's fine to start with lots of ideas and lots of labels and lots of topics. But I think you need to think like an exhibit curator when you're doing a display like that, because you need to make it visually appealing. And being visually appealing doesn't mean that it just needs to be neat. It means that you need to think about how somebody's eyes work when they look at something. It needs to be not too crowded. Less is definitely more in this instance. And if you go back and you look on the website at exhibits that have won in the past, I think that you'll find that that's usually true. So it's, you know, while it's always important to be well-researched and be able to really present your display and talk about it confidently and answer questions, how it looks is really important too. And it doesn't mean that you need to spend $1 million on it. I've seen lots of kids that, you know, looked like somebody else practically did their display, like somebody professional did it, that didn't end up winning. I mean, it's good to also bring the display forward onto the table. So maybe if you could have some objects on the table as well, that would be great. If you can bring it into other dimensions and still, you know, take up the same amount of space, that's terrific.
Great. The same can probably be said for video and theater projects. You know, keep things streamlined, have a focus, make things look neat.
Clean, yeah. Clean. And not clean just in the not dirty sense, right, but, you know, clean in that it's clear what you're looking at. And it's clear, you know, with the displays in particular, it's clear what the central focus is. And then, you know, maybe the side panels are all supporting what your central thesis is.
Next up is Naomi Kokion, who has judged essays submitted for National History Day in the past. In addition to the research and writing of the essay, students must also prepare a brief presentation or defense of their paper to explain how they went about developing and writing it. So what do you say goes into a well-researched, well-written, and well-executed essay for National History Day?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the best essays that I've seen are ones that are just, I mean, well-researched, but that means relying on more than a couple of sources. And also, you know, this is simple and it's something that they'll read and hear from their teachers. You have to use primary sources. You know, you can find them any number of places. I mean, you can look in your library for, you know, anthologies or collections of primary documents, edited collections of documents, or you can go to the websites of places like the National Archives or, you know, even here using our artifacts, but a really strong paper will have some reference to primary documents and, you know, multiple secondary sources as well to show that you sort of understand the context.
So students don't need to feel that they have to have this historical document to go from that might be in the Library of Congress. They can, if they find a collection of primary sources in their library, they might be able to use that.
Yeah, and, you know, they should talk with their teachers about, you know, what exactly, you know, where to find these sort of collections. But, you know, I used to work at the National Archives, actually, at sort of the registration section. I met a lot of kids who came in with their parents to do research, and that's great, but, you know, kids don't have to do, don't have to go to that level. I mean, there are lots of places to look for sources. It's really important to be sure that where you're finding your sources is a reliable place, you know. So, again, the Archives website or the Library of Congress website or some larger institution like that is a good place to go, or, again, an edited collection.
Or maybe even if they want to focus something on local history, there might be a...
And that's a good point. I used to work in a local historical society, and, you know, we were really happy to have student researchers. And sometimes we had classes of kids come in with their, you know, with their schools to do research. So, definitely look to your local museums and libraries and archives as well.
Mm-hmm. What made you decide to be a judge for National History Day?
Well, I mean, it's kind of, it's part of what I do as an educator here. You know, I'm excited about getting kids to, you know, to feel a connection with the past, to, you know, have a broader understanding of past events. And so this just seems like an obvious mm-hmm. Additional thing for me to do. I think National History Day is a wonderful opportunity to engage in sort of doing history. You're, you know, you're reading the original documents, you're doing the work of historians, you're finding information and synthesizing it in your own sort of narrative, which is all really what studying history is about, and it builds wonderful skills for life. So these are all things that you'll take with you to college and beyond. So
if a student writes a great essay and they get selected to come and mm-hmm. in a way defend it, mm-hmm. what sort of things do you ask the students? What sort of things do you want to talk about?
Well, you know, I mean, I think it depends student to student, but I mean, the specific questions. But, you know, in general, the questions that my partner and I have asked are, you know, why did you choose this topic? Or, you know, tell us more about, you know, some specific aspect of the paper. So that doesn't mean that we're going to grill the student about all mm-hmm. the details, but just, you know, there's an expectation that you can show that you are really familiar with the material. So, you know, being able to answer questions that aren't, be able to provide information that isn't specifically on the paper is helpful.
Right.
But, you know, also about sort of the research process. So, you know, how did you find this information? Where did you go? Like, what other sources might you have used? What did you not include in the paper that you want to talk about? Those kinds of things. I was blown away with the projects that I saw. You know, it was hard to choose just, you know, a top person or a top two people. And that, you know, even if kids don't win their competition, they don't go on to the nationals or whatever, I think the process is really, really a valuable one. And so, you know, they should really feel good about taking the time to do a project like this and completing it, because just doing the project is going to be valuable over the long term.
Deborah Warner, a curator in the Division of Medicine and Science, has judged entries in the theater performance category.
Well, first of all, most of the score of this is on the history part of it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes kids are wonderful singers and they want to get up and perform, singers or musicians of some sort, and they want to get up and perform old-time music. That's not history. Sometimes we get science students who want to tell you all that they've learned about some scientific or technological development or ideas. That's not history. They have to talk about what happened in the past and why it happened, and are there different points of view on it.
Mm-hmm. And then they can work in those other disciplines, such as singing and science.
Singing and science is terrific, and the more they bring in, the better. Mm-hmm. But this is not a science exhibition, a science fair, and it's not a performance fair.
Sure.
It's a history contest.
Why did you choose to become a judge in the first place?
It's really a wonderful experience. I go home at the end of the day exhausted, but thinking, whoa, these kids are so bright and have worked so hard. And well, let me tell you one of my favorite experiences.
Sure.
A number of years ago, I judged, and there was one young woman who was really not very good. We gave her a very low mark. And in the evening, I went back to see the runoffs, as it were, where, you know, the best of the best, mm-hmm. The final judging. And this young woman and her mother were sitting right behind me. And she said to me, you know I didn't do real well, but I wanted to see what the winners did so that next year I can come back and do better. So it's a learning experience. It's not just, okay, mm-hmm. I've done this, this is the end of all I'll ever do.
So what do you think that students gain from going through this learning experience?
What don't they gain? They learn how to investigate something. They learn how to talk to people, whether it's their grandmothers or the local librarian or a local history professor at the local junior college. They learn how to read. They learn how to do research. Mm-hmm. They learn how to get on the computer and contact people around the world. They learn how to tell a story and make an argument. And then they learn how to present this in some fashion. And every student I've seen in it has had a wonderful time. They're very proud of what they've done. They're right to be proud.
And finally, let's hear from Dana Allen Greel from the museum's new media program discuss what makes a great digital history project.
What, as a judge, have you looked for in a good project?
For the website category specifically, I look for two key things that take advantage of what the web is really good at. So one would be interactivity, that it lets me explore the topic in a way that's non-linear. You know, I can click on different things and explore. Maybe it includes a map or lays things out in a way that's different from just a paper, an electronic version of a paper. And the other one is multimedia. So using audio and video, I was especially impressed when students would go and do original interviews with people,
wow.
Whether it's people working in a museum or oral histories. That makes the topic really come alive. And then I think just in general, using primary sources in a creative way and using multiple perspectives to look at a complex topic helps make for a good project.
So just like any other project within this, you know, you've got to have the research there and you're looking at it in the same way, you're just using a different avenue to interpret it.
Absolutely. I mean, the scholarship still needs to be good. You need to have a good mix of primary and secondary sources that come from, you know, reputable organizations, which can be tricky with the web. You know, Wikipedia and .com websites are sometimes hard for younger people to distinguish from more reputable sites, mm-hmm. or scholarly sites. And it needs to be well organized, just like any other type of project.
But do students need to have a lot of web development experience or a lot of technical skills in order to produce one of these?
Some of the kids that we judged had pretty deep web development expertise, and they were really excited about that part of the design and development. But the National History Day competition does give pretty easy to use tools as well for students to use if they don't have as much of a technical background and they want to try this format.
Thanks to all the judges for their tips on what makes a great entry for National History Day. To learn more about how you or your students can participate, along with all the rules, explanations on categories, steps for entry, and frequently asked questions, go to the National History Day website at www.nhd.org. For the History Explorer podcast, this is Matt Ringelstetter, funding provided by the Verizon Foundation.